Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Young. Ultra-dwarf Bermuda grasses are used in many areas of the southern United States as golf course putting greens. These grasses, as shown in the photograph here, exhibit very fine leaf textures, short internode spacings, as well as very high shoot densities, allowing them to be very tolerant of low mowing heights. One of the major drawbacks to the ultra-dwarf Bermuda grasses occurs in the deep south in the late summer and early fall months, and we refer to this as summer decline. I've included the photograph here to show the range of field symptoms that golf course superintendents will observe through this time. So what we kind of refer to as a stage one, this is the onset of the decline, where you see a general thinning and discoloration within the canopy of those turf grass plants. As we progress more into what we refer to as the stage two, you see a more pronounced thinning and that loss of turf grass canopy. And then in very extreme scenarios, we see what we refer to as stage three, or a very pronounced and significant amount of turf grass loss can occur. We are left with very open, barren areas of soil. Golf course superintendents find themselves in this position where they must remediate these issues. And as you can see in the front right of this photograph, this particular superintendent has come in with strips of grass or sod to fill those void areas. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, that superintendent is left asking himself, what can he do in the long term for this particular issue? So he reaches out to different extension personnel, plant diagnosticians, and other persons like my advisor who has enabled me to work with this decline. So we get samples in from superintendents, and we begin to look at those different plants. And this is a typical plant that came from a green like the one shown in the previous photograph. The first thing we do, we look at the foliar part, or the above ground plant material. We notice for this particular plant, we see a few healthy green leaves, which quickly progress into a more chlorotic and a necrotic leaf system. The stoloniferous part of the plant is oftentimes brown or black in color. And of utmost importance to my research are the root systems, again discolored, brown to black, typically. They're diminutive or small in size. We see a lack of secondary or lateral root branching, and oftentimes these can be brittle to touch. Upon closer inspection, we notice very dark runner hyphae on the exterior of the roots of these grasses. And then this is a microscopic view of that dark runner hyphae. I really like this photograph. It really allows us to draw an appreciation for the darkness and the robustness of that runner hyphae. We've also seen, as shown in the red circles here, simple hypopodia, as well as growth cessation structures. And all of these different structures are characteristic of a group of fungi known as the ectotrophic root infecting, or the ERI fungi. This is a group of soil-borne fungi that colonize plant roots via their dark runner hyphae. Historically, they're known for causing a circular or a patch-like dieback in the above ground or the foliar portions of the plant material. And this group encompasses several genera, including Gamanomyces, Ophiosporella, as well as Magnaporthiopsis, formerly known as Magnaportha, which come from two different families of the Ascomycota, the Magnaporthaceae and the Phaeosporaceae. If we take a look at turf grass diseases caused from this group of fungi, you can see it's quite a number of diseases there. However, I'll highlight that only two diseases are caused by affect the warm season Bermuda grass. Those are Bermuda grass decline caused by Gamanomyces graminis variety graminis, and spring dead spot caused by a host of Ophiosporella species. So I'd like to go into a little more detail on these diseases and or the causal organism of those diseases. The first thing I want to show you is the lobed hypopodia. Historically, this has been a key diagnostic tool for Gamanomyces graminis variety graminis. We contrast that with the simple hypopodia that we're observing on these roots. You can see that indeed those are morphologically distinct and different from one another. Moving on, this is spring dead spot. I'll draw your attention to the center of the photograph. These are the field symptoms. Now, if you think back to the summer decline, we see a very diffuse decline, just a general declination of those turf grass plants, where this is a much more concentrated necrotic patch of desiccation that occurs. Also, the timing of the year. This occurs in the spring as the grasses are coming out of winter dormancy into spring green-up, whereas the summer decline for us is occurring in the late summer and early fall months. Again, very distinctly different from previously known diseases. So that led us to develop the hypothesis that novel ERI fungal species are associated with the decline of ultra-dwarf Bermuda grasses in the late summer and early fall months. To explore that hypothesis, we erected two objectives. The first was to isolate ERI fungi from colonized ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass roots, and the second was to conduct phylogenetic analyses so we could determine the relatedness of our isolates to other known ERI fungal isolates. For the materials and methods, I'll begin with the isolation. As I said, Gulf Coast superintendents from around the South sent us samples. These are 4-inch diameter cup cutter samples. We then took those samples, looked at the root systems. We collected root materials that were colonized with that dart runner hyphae, which is characteristic of the ERI fungi. We took those roots, surface disinfested those, plated those on a growing medium for exenic or pure culture. Once we had all of our fungi in pure culture, we laid those out on the bench top in our laboratory, and then we assessed the colony morphology of each of those different fungal cultures. So you can see this is just an example of maybe something we would have had in our laboratory. We then placed those into groups that were similar based on colony morphology, where we had something more like this, where they're within those groups, they're all similar based on that morphology. We then went to those groups and selected 2 to 3 isolates to serve as representatives for those groups to carry forward into our molecular characterization. Our molecular characterization began with a preliminary screening, which included a blast analysis to the GenBank of the internal transcribed spacer region. What we found is that the blasts we were finding were related to other members of the Magnaporthaceae family. So that turned us to look into the literature and see what other scientists were working with this group of fungi, essentially. What we found is that back in 2011, a group of scientists, Zhang and colleagues out of Rutgers University, had begun looking at the rice blast fungus using a 6-gene phylogeny. Again, in 2013, a publication came out where they erected a new genus, Magnaporthiopsis, within the Magnaporthaceae. And then lastly, in 2014, those same scientists have described 4 new species in the Magnaporthaceae from grassroots out of New Jersey. And so that led us to basically adopt their protocol and their methods in our laboratory at Mississippi State so we could compare our fungi to other members of the Magnaporthaceae. So in addition to the ITS gene, we sequenced the LSU, SSU, MCM7, RPB1, and the TEF1. So a total of 6 genes here. We then did individual gene alignments, and then we concatenated all of those sequences. And on those concatenated sequences, we did our phylogenetic analyses. Our maximum likelihood analyses were done in Mega version 6, bootstrap replicates of 1,000. And then our Bayesian inference was done in Mr. Bayes. Now I'll transition into the results. For isolation, as a golfer, and most of you guys work with golf or turf, I think you would enjoy the golf tee markers, but our sample distribution comes from Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, and Hawaii. So from those, we had a total of 5 states. From those 5 states, we were able to get 19 total turf grass samples. Those are the 4-inch diameter cup cutter samples. From those 19 samples, we isolated 644 total fungal isolates. That's the number of isolates we took and laid out in our laboratory and looked at the colony morphology. We placed those into groups, selected 2 to 3 representative isolates, which totaled 139 representative isolates that we blasted the ITS gene. From that, we selected 29 of those to carry forward with the additional 5 gene sequencing into our phylogenetic analyses. So 29 of those out of the total 644 were carried all the way into the phylogenetic assessment. Results for molecular characterization. This is the phylogenetic tree, and I understand that this is fairly hard to see from probably where most of you guys are in the back, but I'll walk you through this. This kind of shows where our isolates fall within this phylogeny. First, if you look at the red arrow there, we have Gamanomyces graminis, variety graminis, previously described pathogen for Bermuda grass decline. Next, this is Gamanomyces polygraminis. This is the proposed name, a new species. Next, Magnaporthiopsis incrustans. Many of you may recall this as Gamanomyces incrustans. The work in 2013 by Zhang actually changed the genus name for this to Magnaporthiopsis. Dr. Monica Elliott out of Florida back in 91 actually did pathogenicity trials with this and found this to be at most weakly virulent to Bermuda grass. Next, we found another new species within Magnaporthiopsis. This is Magnaporthiopsis hawaiiensis, Magnaporthiopsis cynodontis species nova, and a Magnaporthiopsis tarraconis species nova. Next, this is a new genus, Candida colonium cynodontis and Pseudophyllophora cynodontis. One thing I want to point out about Pseudophyllophora cynodontis, when I was doing my analyses prior to the 2014 publication, I thought this would be a new genus as well. It was consistently grouping by itself, but it actually falls within those four new species that Zhang and colleagues have described, where they've named that new Pseudophyllophora genus. That's very interesting for us. In summary, a decline was observed on Ultradwarf Bermuda grass that occurred during the late summer and early fall months. Signs of ERI fungi were detected on roots of affected plants, and our molecular phylogenetic assessments indicated the presence of eight different fungal species from those roots. Those were Gametomyces graminis variety graminis, Magnaporthiopsis incrustans, both of those species previously identified and isolated from Ultradwarf or Bermuda grass roots. Gametomyces polygraminis species nova, Magnaporthiopsis hawaiiensis, cynodontis, and tarocanus, Candida colonium cynodontis, and Pseudophyllophora cynodontis. For the pathogenicity evaluations, the big question, what are these guys doing to the roots? I've got a poster number 620 that I'll be presenting tomorrow afternoon that shows a great deal. I've got some really great pictures and some data there. I invite you all to come by and view that poster. And with that, I'd like to thank all my committee members, support team, different professors there at the school, as well as fellow grad students and student workers, all of my funding sources, Mississippi Agriculture Forestry Experiment Station, OJ Noor, True Surface Green Scare Equipment, as well as the Crop Science Society of America for having me here and allowing me to present today. And with that, I'd like to entertain any questions and or comments.
We have time for questions.
Yes, sir. Can I hear that again?
Any of those isolates grouped by region?
The question is, were any of the isolates grouped by region? And I did a poster on that at APS, but the question could best be answered in that I haven't seen any true distinction between those. A lot of those isolates I've seen actually scattered through the five states that I've sampled. So, and another thing to elaborate just a bit more, within one of those 4-inch diameter plugs, I may have found multiple species there together. And one of the pathogenicity treatments is actually the combination of multiple isolates to see if there was a synergistic effect on the roots. Yes, ma'am. The question is, for the morphological assessments, do we use water auger or PDA? We started from the roots. We use a quarter-strength PDA for the plating the roots, and then from that we make our transfers to a full-strength PDA for our pure culture. And that's yes, sir.
Did you find a Hawaiian strain anywhere else other than Hawaii?
The question is, did I find the Hawaiian strain anywhere else other than Hawaii? I would have to go back and look. I should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. And my thought is yes. I actually have it on my iPad, so I can answer that right after this if you want.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Is there any time difference in if you have brand new green, which one of these might develop first biologically? Is there a translation there in the literature or just seeing what superintendents?
The question is, depending on the age of the green, is there any indication by the age on which of these may be more prevalent? And the answer is, that's going to be a test that's followed up by this one at our university, looking at sources of, it may be transported with sprig, a possibility, but nothing that I know of there to even elaborate. Yes, sir. The question is, have we looked at fungicide sensitivity for any of the isolates? No, sir. Not at all. No, even speculation or control.
All right, I think we're out of time now. Thanks, Philip.
Thank you guys so much.